Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, Long Beach, to another edition of Swoop's World right here at blogtalkradio.com. Swoop's World, where you get all you need to know about arts, culture, news, and happenings here in Long Beach. Our number, if you want to call in, is 917-889-7449. You can email us at swoopsworld@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook. Once again, you want to call in tonight, that number is 917-889-7449. Sit back and enjoy another edition of Swoop's World. And welcome, Southern California and all of Long Beach. And we good? Coming through?
Nothing there. Reichen.
You got me coming through here?
I got you on the other set.
We're good. That's all that matters.
We are live.
We're live. Welcome, Long Beach and all of Southern California. Welcome for another edition of Swoop's World. And it's 9 o'clock on a Wednesday, and you're here with Swoop and Peter. And how you doing, Peter?
A little worn out, man. my kid's soccer team decided that the coach decided that we should have kids versus parents today. And so I learned the difference between bicycling and running. I can do those 55 miles, no problem. But boy, 2 hours of back and forth on that field, and I know I'm going to be sore tomorrow.
You're going to feel it, huh?
That being said, I've wiped those kids.
Yeah. You still got it, huh?
I still, a couple more years anyhow. I still got it.
You still got it? You can still
run? Even the fastest kid on the team, I managed to chase down a couple of times.
And these kids are what, 16, 17, 18 years old?
They're 10 years old. But they outnumbered us. There was like 8 kids and 4 adults. So they were just like a swarm. Like a little piranha out there.
10 years old, man.
Doesn't matter. They're 10 years old and there's enough of them. Trouble.
Well, we got a couple of good guests we're going to have on today. We got Barry Rilera, and I believe her pronunciation of her name is Allie Aiden, and she started Beach Greens. And Barry, he's a musician. He's played with just about everybody. So we're going to be looking forward to that. And you know what happened to me this week, man? It finally happened. My son, he's 13. I finally said, it comes a time when you say, what do you want for Christmas? And he just says, I don't know, Dad. Just give me, whatever. Gift cards and stuff. He's at that age now, you know. That
something green in an envelope.
Yeah, man. Up until this point, it's always
whatever denomination you'd like.
Yeah, it's very, very specific. And now it's like, I don't know, Dad, whatever. So doesn't make my life any easier. So, well, we'll see what happens,
That's where you take them on over to, or you head over and you get that card for, was it the GameStop? Because a 13-year-old boy will find something in there.
He mentioned GameStop.
Yeah. The only problem with that is if you don't spend enough,
he'll let you know.
You're going to get grief about that.
He will let you know.
I know your boy. He will hesitate.
You know, what he's pretty good at is he's pretty good at hoarding those cards from a number of people. And then going out and just laying them all out and getting what he wants. So, I'm not worried about it. He'll get what he wants eventually. Well, what we'll do is let's go to our first break and then come back and introduce our guests and get these things rolling, huh?
Sounds like a plan.
And then maybe later on tonight we'll discuss some of the things that have been happening in Long Beach this week. What we'll do is let's let the listeners get a chance to kind of hear some of Barry's music, and we'll start off with one of his songs, and this one's called Why.
Can't get over you,
but the feeling's not the same. No, it just ain't the same anymore.
You're wondering, hey, Swoop, what is that going on behind you there? Well, I'm over here at Powerhouse Fitness, and what's going on behind me is an indoor rowing class. And what you're hearing in the background there is music going on at about 30, 32 beats a minute. That whirling sound of the fans of the flywheel of an indoor rowing machine, Concept 2. And that voice, that's Jack Nunn. He's teaching one of the classes here. So many classes going on here. The rowing core, beats per minute, rowing burn, rowing coach, you name it. The spin class, Zumba classes. They got the core arc workout. And two locations, 5750 Boathouse Lane, 1347 Loma Avenue for the warehouse location. First class is free. Come on out. Good friend of Soup's World. Come on out. Meet Jack Nunn. Meet some of the other instructors here. So many of the instructors are U.S. national team rowers. You're going to burn 800 calories an hour and, get your groove on, man. I'm going to get back on here and jump on one of these rowers and get my sweat on. So, he's yelling at me. So I'm going to have to get back real here pretty soon. So come on down. Check out a good friend of Swoop's World. Check out Powerhouse Fitness. Like I said, tell them Swoop's World sent you. First class free. Check it out. And I'm going to get you back to the show. But I'm going to go ahead, get back here, get sweaty, have some fun. Talk to you soon.
Excuse me, moving so slow.
Welcome back to Swoop's World. If you want to give us a call, the number is 917-889-7449. You can join us in the chat line. If you follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and if you want to send us an email, it's swoopsworld@gmail.com. And I'd like to welcome Barry Rolero to the show. How you doing, Barry?
Good, thank you.
Thank you for joining us. And we always start every one of our guests off with the same question. How long have you been in Long Beach, and what got you started in the music business?
So I was born and raised in Santa Ana. I live in Huntington Beach now. But I went to school here. I went to Long Beach State. I was studying education there. I actually taught school for a year, grammar school. But then when I was in my first year of teaching in Santa Ana under a contract there, a couple of friends of mine from Orange County got a hit record. And I had been playing with them, you know, on weekends and doing certain things. But they said, hey, you know, things are happening. Let's go. You know, let's go on the road. I said, okay, cool. So I finished that year and I went on the road and I kept renewing my credential, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we'd go out and travel, and every time it had come up to renew the credential, I kept renewing it, and then pretty soon it was like 30 years later. And by the way, my credential is still good. I have a life credential, a credential now. But I thought, you know, well, I'll do this and have some fun and then come back and get serious. But I never really did. I just ended up, one thing led to another, and I ended up doing a lot of traveling.
And who were these friends of yours that had the hit record?
Oh, yeah, that was the Righteous Brothers, who are now in the Hall of Fame. And the taller one of the two with the low voice, that's Bill Medley. He's from Santa Ana, and I met him in junior high school. And then Bobby Hatfield, who passed away a couple years ago, he was from Anaheim, and I met him when I was just starting college. And they didn't know each other, but I knew them because I played in one of their guys had a band, was playing in Santa Ana, and then Bobby was playing with his band in Anaheim, and somehow I got hooked up with him. And I used to tell him, you know, hey, you know, you ought to hear this guy sing over here, you know, and I tell Bill, say, hey, you ought to hear this guy play, you know, but I wasn't the one that got them together. It was a musician that we all looked up to in Orange County at the time, and he heard them both, and he knew they would be good together. He knew it right off, and so he formed a band and got them together.
Yeah. Now, you played with quite a few people that were very successful. Now, I understand you played saxophone years ago, and you played with Dick Dale.
Yeah, the surf, yeah, king of the surf group.
Surf guitar.
that was a fluke too. Like one night I went down to Balboa. I heard there was, you know, something going on down there, and there's all this happening, you know. And he was playing his guitar there, and somebody introduced us or something, and I said, yeah, you know, I'll sit in, you know. So I played sax with him, and he hired me, and I got into that, and I ended up doing some recording with him. I'm on the background, the sax on that, you know, that one song that he's really well known for, the Miserloo, been in a lot of commercials and stuff. And then Let's Go Trippin'. Anyway, that. And I was going to school then too, at Long Beach State, so I was playing with him mainly on weekends. But it was great because it gave me some extra spending money and stuff.
What sort of venues were you playing with him?
We were playing. We played at the Rendezvous Ballroom in Balboa, and then we used to play at a place that's no longer there now, called the Harmony Park in Anaheim. And then, he started branching out. You know, we did Pasadena and all around Southern California.
You must have started playing at a very young age, I assume.
Yeah, I started lessons when I was about 8, and I was real small. I wanted to play guitar, but my hands were too small, so they started me off on ukulele. And then when I got a little bigger, my dad got me a 4-string guitar, which you don't see many of those anymore. And then when I got bigger, then I switched to the regular 6-string. Spanish guitar, I guess they call it.
Cool. So, and when did you start playing the sax?
Well, my brother had his band while I was in high school, we used to play R&B, half R&B and half Latin, because we used to play for these Latin like car clubs and stuff in L.A., East L.A. Back then, you know, you can play all over L.A., didn't matter where, and it was, you know, it was cool.
Right.
So it would happen half, and so, but a lot of these Latino mambos and cha-chas that we were trying to learn were Tito Puente, by the way. We learned a bunch of his songs.
Cool.
You know, they had horns in them and flutes. I learned how to play flute too. So me and a couple of friends, you know, we learned, that's why we wanted to learn that, so we could play, make those songs sound authentic, you know.
You know, when I was talking to, you know, I told you I knew Steve, and he was giving me some background and some things. He said you played with Engelbert Humperdinck for a while, too.
Oh, yeah. that's because, you know, people hear who I played with, and then all of a sudden I said, oh, and I also toured with Engelbert. And, oh, yeah. But you know what happened? I was playing with the Reichert Brothers a lot in Vegas, and I got to meet some friends over there, and one of my old dear friend, his name is Jeff Sturgis. He was an arranger for... he used to conduct and arrange for Tom Jones and Engelbert.
Mm-hmm.
And he called me. The Reichert Brothers broke up about two or three times and kept together, you know. But one of the times that they had split up, my friend Jeff called me and he said, hey, you know, I know you're not playing with the Reichert Brothers right now. You want to go out and tour with us, you know, with Engelbert? We need a guitar. I said, yeah, sure. So, and I ended up doing 3 years with him.
Wow.
Yeah. And, you know, of all things, I was playing down in Laguna a couple years ago on a Sunday night. I play every Sunday night down there. And I got a call from Engelbert. And he said, hey, I mean, I hadn't played with him like in maybe, I don't know, 15 to 18 years.
Wow.
And he said, hey, I need a guitar player to finish out this tour, you know. And he said, we got to be in Connecticut Wednesday. This was a Sunday night. But you know what? I was working on my CD, and I needed some money to finish it up. So I said, you know what? Let me see if I can get rid of my whatever commitments I have. And, you know, I told my wife, and she said, well, yeah, you know, go ahead and, you know, we can finish paying for all this studio time and everything. So I ended up and then I did that for about another a year with him. That was just recently. You know, we went to England. I traveled quite a bit. But the one thing I really liked about this last tour, I had never been to Australia. And he, you know, he's worldwide. They had just come back from Russia before.
Wow.
You know, he's really international. And so we and I got to go over there, and we spent a month over in UK, all over Belgium. That only lasted a little less than a year. But it was nice getting back with him again.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's so many interesting stories about you that, you know, that I've heard through Steve and the things that I've read And I want to get into some of the other ones, and then there's the story about George Harrison. But I was reading about, and I don't know if I pronounced his name right, Jerry LaCroix.
LaCroix. Mm-hmm.
And he was in one of his biographies. He's telling a story about he was doing some things and is working with some different bands and stuff. And he met with Clive Davis and let this plane go over. And Clive had come to him and wanted him to do a project, and he had done a project before and this type of thing, and he really wanted to work with Clive again, and Clive wanted him to do something, and he said, only if I can pick my guitarist, and he wanted you. And I guess he turned down the project because he was either go with you or he wasn't going to do it at all.
we ended up doing... an album for Columbia.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure if he turned it down, but, you know, Clive had put him together with, I can't remember the guy's name, the little guy that wrote Hang On Sloopy, Rick Derringer.
Mm-hmm.
And that worked well, But then Jerry is a real Southern R&B guy, you know, and he wanted to go more in that direction. And I'm not sure how he found out about me, but he did. And I have always loved the New Orleans style of rock and roll, or whatever you call it, that style of playing. So I jumped in there, you know, and we got along great. And we did that one album for Columbia. That was one of the best experiences, and also one of the low points in my whole career, because we were touring with a group from England, Uriah Heep,
mm-hmm.
and we were opening for them. And to make a long story short, we were celebrating the road manager's birthday in Chicago, went down to State Street Club to celebrate, and everybody was drinking heavily. And the drummer ended up getting into a hassle with somebody, and he was too drunk to do anything, and they disappeared outside. Anyway, he went in a coma for a week, and he died. That was one of the worst things that ever happened to me in my music career. It was it devastated the whole band. We had gotten real close,
yeah,
and we didn't survive the band. We just couldn't. I just but it was great music.
Yeah,
really good music. Those guys, you know, it was all myself and I think I was the only one that wasn't from down there, either Texas or New Orleans. But anyway, what was the experience?
When you play with so many different bands and groups, and you talk about that experience, is it hard to find groups that you actually really connect with in a situation where, I mean, I know you probably work with people and you're all quality musicians and you all put out good products, but how many times do you ever feel like you really gel? I mean, this really feels really good. And,
yeah. Well, that was one time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't mean this in a bragging way, but if you're a good musician, you know, they'll probably find you, or word will get out about you if you're in that particular type of music that they're playing, you know.
Right.
And a lot of it is just plain luck. I just happened into meeting guys that were connected to this guy and that guy, and just like that guy that called me for Engelbert, you know, a friend I met in Vegas, and I had never played with him before.
Right.
But he saw me playing, and we got to be friends. And then when I was playing with the Righteous Brothers, I was touring with them, and then my brother-in-law, who has since passed away, was the lead trumpet player, and he was playing lead trumpet for Ray Charles for his orchestra. And then, like, it just so happened, like, an opening came up. They were getting ready to go to Europe for a tour. He went there every year. And so my brother-in-law said, hey, they're looking for a guitar player. You want to audition for it? And, you know, the first thing I thought was, wow, man, Ray Charles, you know. The Righteous Brothers and myself, we grew up idolizing. And, I mean, that's where Bill learned how to sing. You know,
yeah.
Georgia, he eventually recorded that, Bill did. But so I was playing with them, and I said, hey, I went up and auditioned. That's another story. But anyway, I told the Righteous Brothers, I said, hey, I got a chance to go play with Ray Charles. You know, I said, I don't know how long this tour is going to last or how long I'll be with him. And they said, hey, man, go ahead. Because, I mean,
he's Ray Charles.
Hey, you get to play with Ray Charles. I don't blame you. And they said, you know, go ahead. And when you're through with that, come on back. And that's exactly what happened. I toured with them about a year, and then I went back with them. But
was that experience like?
Huh?
What was that experience like playing with Ray Charles? Was it everything you hoped? Was it as exciting,
man,
and interesting as it seems like it would be?
More.
Yeah?
Oh, he was the most amazing person I have ever met in my life. First of all, I hope I'm not running on here, but...
No!
I
thought
we invited you on. I get an audition to go up to Ray Charles. I don't know if you've seen the movie Ray, but they show his studio there. His office is up in L.A., the second floor is a recording studio.
Mm-hmm.
So I could go down there thinking I'm going to audition with the orchestra or with maybe at least a rhythm section. Well, I get up, go there, and all it is Ray. And he says, come on.
That's not intimidating.
He's sitting at the piano, up in the studio. And I got my guitar, and he's cool. He said, what do you want to play? And I said, well, I like blues. And he said, let's play the blues. And I was just more interested in just listening to him play.
Yeah, yeah.
It was sitting right there, he's on the piano right next to him. But that was, and he if you get around him and see how he goes about his daily, it was just amazing. Whatever he wanted to do, he would do it. It didn't matter what it was. He had his own Piper Cub. They would take him up. The guy told me they'd take him up, and he'd fly it, and then he had a couple of motorbikes, and mm-hmm. they'd take him out to these big empty things, and he'd ride those around. And he had his own plane. It was in the movie. We used to call it the Buzzard, the guys in the family, because it was an old prop jet. the first trip across country to New York from L.A., we had to stop, I think, about 3 or 4 times just to refuel. But and he was always up in the cockpit.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah, and the guys in the band, they're all these veteran, some of them had played with Count Basie and other big bands, and they get the bottles out. Oh, Brother Ray's up in the car. But they'd open the door, and you could see him flipping switches. He had 2 pilots, on the payroll.
Maybe a bit nervous. Great musician, but I'm not so sure about that flying skill.
When I was a kid, we drove by his house, because my parents knew where he lived, and we saw him driving a golf cart across the tennis court, and he had somebody in the cart with him, and he'd drive all the way to the fence, and he'd hit, and then he'd back it up, turn it around, drive all the way to the other end, and hit it, and go all the way back.
Okay, when we were traveling, he always had a pegboard chess board.
Okay.
And he'd take on the band, they'd take turns playing. Nobody ever beat him, of course. But that was a way to pass the time. One last thing that sticks out my mind. One time he had a recording session up at his studio up there. And famous arranger Neil Hefti was conducting the thing. And I made the big mistake of coming late.
No.
You don't do that. Anyway, all I can say is he chewed me out royally when I got... I was so embarrassed. And there's all these... there's a whole big band.
Right.
Strings, everything. So anyway, I'm trying to get set real quick. And I look up in the booth, and there's Ray behind the board, a lady secretary taking notes, and a band boy, and that was it. He ran everything.
Wow. Yeah.
He'd tell the, that's just typical of him, He'd tell the band boy, go there and move mic number 19 or whatever, move it in a little bit, a couple inches or something. By this time I had seen him do so many things, I just said, man, this is amazing. Well, one other thing about it, we were at a rehearsal once. Up in L.A. When he did his actual jobs, it was kind of loose. He wasn't real, but his rehearsals were real intense. And he would pick apart arrangements. He'd try to arrange. So we're rehearsing, he got to this one part in the arrangement, and he stops and he says, hey, brother, third trumpet there. He said, you see that bar? And he calls the bar number. See that bar number 114? He's just sitting at his piano, And he said, oh, yeah, brother. And he said, is that a G in there or a G sharp? And he already knows where it is. and the trumpet player said, oh, yeah, brother, that's a G sharp. He goes, yeah, that's what I thought. Let's try that again. But I'm just shaking my head. You
yeah.
know, like,
that's amazing.
That is amazing. Wow. Oh, it's time for another break. We're gonna play another one of Barry's songs. You're listening to Swoops World Radio on Blog Talk Radio Network. You want to give us a call? It's 917-889-7449. And we're going to listen to, how about, Gonna Move You. And we'll be back right after this.
You out there in Swoops World, this is Rob from Night Views Radio, reminding you to join myself and Travis every Thursday night at 11 p.m. Eastern Time, 8 p.m. Pacific Time on ztalkradio.com for Night Views Radio. You're not going to want to miss this show. We talk about some of the hottest topics, hot button issues, and we also chat with some of the most well-known celebrities, musicians, entertainers, newsmakers, comedians, whoever it is, we have them here on Night Views Radio. So make sure you join us every Thursday night at 11 p.m. Eastern Time, 8 p.m. Pacific Time, only on ztalkradio.com. For more information on our show, go to nightviewsradio.com.
And we're back live on Swoops World Radio, blogtalkradio.com. And you just heard from our good friends on the East Coast, Rob and Travis from Z-Talk Radio and Night Views. And they'll be on tomorrow night. They're on at 8 o'clock our time. So you get a chance to check them out. And before that, we heard Barry's title cut off his new CD, and that's called Gonna Move Ya. And how do they get that CD if they want to get that, Barry?
You can get that by going to CD Baby, www.cdbaby.com, and then you could type in my name. It's under blues category, electric blues. And actually, that's other than my when I go play, that's about the only place you can get it.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. And we have a link to that on our website, and I know we have a link to your website on our website, and there's a link to it from your website also. So definitely want to go ahead and check that out, and we're going to be playing some more songs off of that tonight also. God, there's so many things I want to ask you. You do a lot of different things with your guitar besides just playing it, and I understand that you taught George Harrison how to make his guitar gently weep.
Wait a minute. No, that's not right. Actually, what happened, let me back up a little bit. The Righteous Brothers were booked when they first started out, to get some recognition before they even had Love and Feeling, as that was their first big national hit. They were booked to be one of the acts opening acts for the Beatles' first American tour,
mm-hmm.
along with the Bill Black Combo, who was the backup band that all the other acts used, us, the Exciters, a vocal group, and Jackie DeShannon. Then there would be an intermission, and the Beatles would come out. Well, we traveled. They had a plane that they had for us to travel on, and they were hearing in the dressing room these guitar strings being bent, so they went to the Bill Black Combo, and they thought it was their guitar player, and they said, "Hey, you playing with the Righteous Brothers, you getting that sound on the guitar?" And he said, "Oh, that's not our guy." Who, by the way, that guitar player was a famous guitar player from Nashville, Reggie. Anyway, he played with Herbie Mann and did a lot of recording in Nashville. As I say, that was, the Righteous Brothers guitar player. So then when they found out, then Paul came back from the front where they would sit on the plane, and he said, "Hey, we heard it was you that was doing that guitar thing," and they didn't know anything about that at the time. Actually, it wasn't that well known at the time. So he wanted to know how I got that sound, and I told him, that's a thing that me and a few of my friends picked up from Glenn Campbell. And Glenn Campbell was doing a lot of studio work then, and he used to bend the strings, did on some early recordings of the Righteous Brothers and all kinds of people. And at that time, it wasn't that easy to find the thinner gauge strings. Now you can get all gauges everywhere.
Right.
But back then, Glenn used to use banjo strings because they're the only ones you could get that were made that thin, and put them on, to where they were like the first string would be the thinnest banjo string you could get, which is around a 9 gauge or something like that. Anyway, so I said, you have to use thinner strings.
Right.
And they didn't know that. And I said, and I use banjo strings. And so, anyway, it was nice talking to him. He sat down, and I started asking him questions, how do you write songs? All those kind of things. And, do you have a method? And he said, "No, there's no." He said, "Sometimes, John will have some lyrics. Or sometimes I'll have some lyrics and I'll get with him. Or sometimes he might have a certain line, a melody line. Or sometimes I might have some chords." And he said, "So we just get together and work on it." There was no particular thing, because I was just starting to get interested in trying to, you know, create, write my own music or write some, to take a stab at it. But I like that because then I knew, then I said, well, it doesn't matter which way I go. I don't have to, you know, be restricted to this or that. I just go for it or whatever. So, but he was very nice, and that was my famous contact with him. Yeah, I mean, to think back now that that was back when they had, they were known mainly for, the first hits,
right,
that they had. But, God, I followed them after that, and it's just amazing. Yeah, I have a picture at home of John and Paul and Bill and Bob that somebody took, and I ended up with it. Really, they're really young looking, you know.
Yeah.
But it's a prized photo I have at home.
Yeah, you were showing us some pictures earlier. You started off performing with your brothers.
Yeah, my older brother was the one that got us, was the one that decided to start a band.
Mm-hmm.
And this was way back before they even had garage bands, you know. Like they were probably just starting it. And, in fact, we used to rehearse in our front room there in Santa Ana. But he wanted to, we used to listen to a radio show out of L.A. that my older sister and came across through some friends of hers in high school at the time. It was a DJ. His name was Hunter Hancock. And he played all R&B of the time. And he used to have a record of the week, which was they would determine through record sales and through voting. And we just listen to him every day. And then I remember my dad bought a reel-to-reel tape recorder from Sears, I think it was. And so instead of having to get record, you know, we just put the mic up to the radio, and that, you know, we'd learn those songs, you know.
Smart.
Everything. Old R&B, and that was our background, you know. That was how we, that's what we liked to play, and that's.
So what kind of bands, groups were you inspired by?
A lot of the older R&B band, we tried to copy them, you know. Who was Fats Domino, used to have records of the week, and Lowell Fulsom, B.B. King, of course.
Of course, yeah.
And in fact, that's where I really learned how to play. My older brother used to buy these 78s. I still have a few of them, too. Remember those?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And he had, you know, some B.B. King, and I just would put them on and, you know, just note for note learn his solo.
That's
amazing. You know, because I said, man, I want to play like this guy, you know. But I really believe and always have that he was the one that really started the whole electric thing, and anybody that's played since then up to today has somehow come across his influence, whether they know it or not.
Right.
And because he started the whole strings and playing an electric guitar. And traveling with the Righteous Brothers so long, you know, I got to run into a lot of these people, early rock stars and blues guys. I remember one of the first tours we ever did, we were back east somewhere, and the guy said, hey, Etta James is playing at a club down there, so we went down to see her, you know, and things like that, you know, that really were priceless times, you know, for growing up then, you know, because I was still pretty young and quite impressionable, but it was great, man, you know, running into. And, you know, there's so many really nice people. Benny King,
uh-huh,
comes to mind. Great, really a nice gentleman,
yeah,
you know, and friendly. And the Four Tops, we did some concerts with them. Levi was great. Of course, he passed away now. But, you know, the first concert we got hired to do with the Four Tops, they had us closed. Them and then us. And the brother said, if they ever call us again to do a concert with the pork chop, we're not closing. We're going on before they go. I mean, they came on, and I mean, it I don't know how long it was, hour and a half, or what, and it was one, and you go, oh yeah, that's your yeah, and it was just one after another, and the people were just going nuts, and then we had to go.
Was anybody left? Was there anybody to play to when you got?
There was a few, but a lot of them. But the brother said, you know, don't ever quit it. See, I was the band leader for them, and I was also their road manager, and I handled their contracts. Their contracts came to me, so I had the, you know, the power to sign them. They signed that over to me, but so they would, you know, give me instructions, and that was one of them. Definitely.
Don't do that again. You said you guys when you were with your brothers, you were playing Disneyland.
Yeah.
My
older brother and my younger brother.
So, what's it like making that jump from Disneyland to these big venues?
Well, I actually didn't know what it was in store for me, because that I was going to school in Long Beach and playing at Disneyland during the summers, and it was kind of like Disneyland was great because there was always a lot of people there, and mm-hmm. it was a different crowd every night. And on weekends, a lot of the local kids would come out there, and we were the only band that was playing anything near rock and roll. You know, all the other they had some big bands, and they just started. We were the first kind of that band that could be considered a rock and roll band. So we got really popular out there. It was called the first of all, it was called the Spacemen because we played in the Space Bar. Then it was called the Mustangs. Then it was called something else. But that was some great times in my life. You know, going to school and working there on weekends and summers, and that was great. That was all due to a mentor of ours who passed away recently. His name was Sonny Anderson. He's the one that hired me and my brothers, all three of us. He heard us play and said, I want all three of you guys to be in this band, you know, mm-hmm. that I'm starting. And that was cool. Anyway, so, you know, then while I was playing there is when the brothers got their booking to do the Beatles thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I, like, was there, and then the next thing I know, we're going on this Beatles tour. And the first gig that we did was the Cow Palace in San Francisco. And I'll never forget this till the day I die. We went in the back stage entrance, and we went in there, and we heard this real eerie sound, and I was, what the hell? And it was 17,000 capacity. It was all these young kids screaming.
Wow.
I mean, at the top of their lungs, and every concert was like that.
Yeah.
I mean, when I realized what it was, the air on my back went up. You know, oh my God, you know, this is. You know, wow, what are we
yeah.
in for here? And you know what? It in a way, it was kind of a drag because for the brothers, because they didn't advertise anyone else. All they advertised on this first tour of theirs was the Beatles. They didn't say anything about Jackie DeChan. And so we would, the opening acts would come up, and the whole time they'd be yelling, we want the and they'd be screaming and girls fainting. And so when we got home, about three quarters of the way through the tour, we were at in New York at the tennis Forest Hills. The brothers finally said, you know, this is ridiculous. So they dropped out of the tour.
Yeah.
I mean, just we couldn't even hear ourselves sing or play, and the people were definitely not into you know, the brothers or anything else. But it was quite an experience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Beatlemania.
I actually went to that. We're going to take another quick break and play another quick song, and then we'll come back and wrap this up. You're listening to the Swoops World. We're here with Barry Rilera, and we're going to play another one of his songs. This is called Got to Get It Right. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
he told me you're lying. He said it's been a while that you don't work there no more. I told you once if you're lying you'd be crying. You fool around and you're out that door. Mama told me to wait. Now it's too late. I got to let you go. When I'm there at home, you always treat me right. You make me feel like I'm the only one. Soon as I leave town, you're out at night. You just can't wait to go out and have your fun. Run around with your friends. Now that's the end. I got to let you go.
On this week's Friends of Swoops World segment, we spotlight two local businesses, Alfred's English Gardens and Richco Gates. Kathy Alford of Alfred's English Gardens was recently chosen by the City of Long Beach Water Department to help educate homeowners about alternative low-water garden options. Visit the website and click on eSmart Gardens for case studies and photo galleries of gorgeous gardens in Long Beach. Go to www.kathyalford.com. Richco Gates. Richco is a local builder that specializes in locally handcrafted outdoor woodwork built specifically for each client. Richco believes in doing a great job and having fun in the process. He builds gates in a variety of styles. Check out the photo gallery at richcogates.com. for more information. If you'd like to become a friend of Swoops World and have your business mentioned on our air, send us an email at swoopsworld@gmail.com. And back to our guests right after this. And welcome back to Swoops World. And you can always follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And you can always send us an email at swoopsworld@gmail.com. Back here with our guests, Barry Rolera. And Barry, your website is barryrolera.com. And that's where people can go to find out where you're going to be playing. And you do have a couple things coming up real soon, right?
Yeah. Well, I play every Sunday night with five of my good buddies down in Laguna Beach at the Sandpiper every Sunday night, and that's a five-piece group. And then January 1st, I'll be with my R&B group at Patrick's 2 down in the old gas lamp quarter down there in San Diego. And then I play every first and third Thursday with my classic rock, I call it, band. Yeah. I don't know where that term came from, but that means we play a lot of older stuff, oldies. The first and third Thursdays of the month at Tumbleweeds in Huntington Beach. And then whoever else calls me, you know, or whatever other gig comes up, I'll do it.
There you go. And
I still love playing.
That's great. And
I'm fortunate enough to be have some good veteran musicians that play with me, you know, so that makes it a lot more enjoyable.
Yeah.
Because you know, they're all into just playing for the enjoyment of playing, period.
Right. Mm-hmm. We've had quite a few people recently who've been able to enjoy this for quite a while. Huh?
Yeah, yeah. Great to see. It's great to see people who can follow their passion and have some great stories to tell about it afterwards and yeah, make a living at it.
Exactly.
I mean, that's
and what, and 1 hour is just not long enough.
No. I mean, especially Barry here. I mean, he's obviously just tip of the iceberg.
We have not even got the tip of the iceberg here.
I'm still living to tell about it.
you were going to mention something about Richard Berry.
Richard Berry. Who was, for people that don't know, he's the guy that wrote, the gentleman that wrote Louie Louie. And when my brother had his Latino R&B band, years ago that we first started him, we came across Richard. We backed him up in a show up in L.A. And so my brother said, hey, I play every Sunday night. You know, telling Richard, you want to come down and sing a few songs? You know, we'll pay it at just maybe, you know, three or four songs a set. And so he said, yeah, sure. So he'd come down every Sunday night, and he'd just sitting back. Another real gentleman, by the way, Richard Berry. And he always wore dark glasses, so people thought that he was like maybe an addict or something, you know, but he wasn't. He didn't even drink. And he would just sit back on the side of the stage, and he just listened. You know, he was a songwriter for on a weekly salary in L.A., and he had written, you know, all the songs that were being used, and they were just paying him a salary, which is what happened with Louie Louie. So anyway, we used to play this cha-cha-cha, like half Latin. It was called by a Cuban orchestra leader named Rene Touzet. And Richard told us, you know, he was talking to me and my brother, and he said, hey, what's that one song that you play that it starts out with the piano and the bass and the congas, and it starts out don 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 don. I said, well, that's El Loco Cha Cha. That was the name of it. And he said, yeah, I like that one. He said, I'm working on a song that's, you know, a pattern after that. And that was where he got the idea. And there's a book out called Louie Louie, and it's all in there. It's documented in there.
Yeah.
When he was playing with us in Anaheim.
That's pretty cool.
Well.
There's another book out called Land of a Thousand Dances, which documents the history of Latino R&B and rock bands in L.A. and Orange County from the time of us way back in the 50s, 60s, up to Los Lobos.
Mm-hmm.
And that we're in that thing. They, you know, interviewed us for that. And moving another book. Anyway, I feel like I'm, you know, I feel fortunate to, like, I am like a kind of a part of rock and roll history, you know, with all that stuff.
Absolutely.
Yeah, without a doubt.
That goes without saying. I mean, just look at the people you've had. You know, just conversations with, you know, the
yeah.
Beatles and Ray Charles, the Righteous Brothers, you know, I mean, right there.
Yeah. And then
how many people can claim that?
And
like I said, we just touched on
and
that.
And he's contributed to each one of those people. So
no, that's amazing. That's really, really impressive.
Yeah. And you know, Barry, we really appreciate you coming on the show for us and being a part of Swoop's World. And I really thank you for coming on.
Well, thank you for having
amazing.
Me. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
And
keep
good
us posted.
To know somebody's still interested.
Absolutely. Our next guest is going to be, and I hope I'm pronouncing it right. Well, and when we get on the phone, we'll definitely ask her. Allie, I believe it's Allie Aiden, owner and founder of Beach Greens, and she'll be up next. We're going to go to another quick break, play another one of Barry's songs. And when we come back, we're going to learn all about Beach Greens. And so you listen to the Swoop's World. Thanks a lot, Barry. And go to Barry's website, barrylera.com. That's RILLERA.com. Check out what he's got going. Go to CD Baby, buy his CD. And go out and see him. See some live music. Support our musicians. And, you know, he's a charm. I mean, you know, he's, what do you call that? History. History.
Right.
Definitely go check that out. And this is called Time Keeps Rolling Along, Part 1.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Hey, it stopped. It stopped.
You broke it.
Broke it.
I just don't know. Hey all you out there in Swoops World, this is Rob from Night Views Radio, reminding you to join myself and Travis every Thursday night at 11 p.m. Eastern Time, 8 p.m. Pacific Time on ztalkradio.com for Night Views Radio. You're not going to want to miss this show. We talk about some of the hottest topics, hot button issues, and we also chat with some of the most well-known celebrities, musicians, entertainers, newsmakers, comedians, whoever it is, we have them here on Night Views Radio. So make sure you join us every Thursday night at 11 p.m. Eastern Time, 8 p.m. Pacific Time, only on ztalkradio.com. For more information on our show, go to nightviewsradio.com.
And welcome back to Swoops World on Blog Talk Radio. And Peter, that was pretty nice, huh?
Oh, yeah. He can play.
He can play.
And Steve, who referred him, was right, man. I mean, he's played with everyone. He's got some great stories. Just really interesting guy.
Absolutely. Well, it's we're gonna be bringing up Aaliyah, and she's going to tell us all about beach greens and organic produce, and near and dear to our heart because we both have had organic gardens. So let's bring her on. Let's see if I can get this to click. It's not running over right now. Oh, here, let's try it again. It's stuck. Come on, Blog Talk.
There it goes.
Make it work. All right. Aaliyah, are you on there?
Yes.
Can you hear us?
Yes, I can. I'm here.
Welcome to the show. Can you pronounce your last name for us?
Iden.
Sorry about the butchering of your name earlier.
That's okay. No problem. Don't worry about it. It's not uncommon.
Well, thanks for coming to the show. And tell us a little bit about yourself, how you came to Long Beach, and how you started Beach Greens.
Well, I came to Long Beach, and I was born here. And I actually came back, as many of us do, after going away to school and doing some other stuff. I came back a few years ago, about 3 years ago, and decided that Long Beach needed a business like Beach Greens. So I started it. You know, we deliver organic produce to people's homes directly from farms.
Just
in a nutshell.
Yeah.
So how do you where's the farms? Are they locals? How do you source them?
Yeah, they are all within 300 miles of Long Beach, and I source them by going to a farmer's market in Santa Monica that has really terrific farmers at it. And I just started by going to the market a few years ago and talking to the farmers and telling them what I was doing, and they were all very receptive, and we're already selling to all the chefs in L.A., so it wasn't a big deal, the quantities that I needed, and just kind of went from there and have built a relationship over the last few years with the same farmers, and it's been really successful.
Very cool.
A learning experience, and it's been very good.
You know, looking at the website, I mean, you have a really interesting story, and why don't you tell the listeners about, when you were 15, you had chronic kidney disease, and you felt that. So your diet and the type of produce and things like that might have had something to do with you healing yourself, correct?
Yeah, I mean, basically when I was 15, the doctor's diagnosis forced me to kind of look towards my diet, and that was just really the start of a long, long journey. I didn't get into organic produce until I was at college in Berkeley, go figure, but it was there that I kind of discovered farmers markets, discovered the whole idea of farm to fork, and it was starting to become more popular at that point. And so it's been kind of an overall journey, and then I eventually went to culinary school and ended up in the Pacific Northwest in Seattle after that, working as a chef and a caterer, and kind of got sick of that world. But the thing I always loved was the farmers and interacting with the farmers and picking up the produce. I always wanted to be at a farmer's market. So when I was thinking about how I wanted to make money, I thought, well, how can I make myself always be at a farmer's market besides having a booth? That's a possibility. I considered it, but this is what I came up with. And it's based on different businesses around the country that do similar things. So it wasn't a new idea, but it was a newish idea to this area, especially locally to Long Beach. So
now,
I took the fact that I know Long Beach really well and kind of put the two together.
Right.
How difficult is it to get the produce delivered?
It's a logistical game, but it's not it's not particularly difficult. I've learned a lot about logistics and just UPS kind of stuff, but I thought I would never even be thinking about, but it's not that difficult. It's detail oriented, but you pick it up, you pack it, you get everybody's address, you organize a map, and I have a driver and send him out. He does a great job getting everything out to everybody.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
How many people are you delivering to now or homes?
We have between, I would say maybe 165 customers in total. Huh? And then on a weekly basis, anywhere between 80 and 100. Because when you sign up as a customer, you can choose weekly, every other week, or monthly deliveries. So within that, there's a lot of range of how many people get a delivery in a week. And you can also postpone your delivery at any time. So if you go out of town, as a lot of people are right now for the holidays, you postpone your delivery until you get back. So we have about 165 active customers in any given week between 80 and 100 actual deliveries.
Cool. What kind of variety are you having? I know this is kind of a slower season, and since things are local, so give us an idea. If I was getting a shipment, what would I be getting right now?
You would be getting citrus. That's the thing that we're lucky to have in Southern California in the winter time.
Yeah.
Is tons and tons of varieties of citrus. So the Satsuma tangerines have just started coming in, those easy peel. They're called Clementine.
I love those.
Their brand name in the stores. So those are starting to pile in, which I love. We get those by the pounds. And then we get a lot of really delicious. We work with this one grower out of the Temecula area, Garcia Organic Farm, and they just grow the most amazing mandarins and different varieties of tangerines that you will never see anywhere besides in a market. So that's a lot of fun. There's a page mandarin that comes out. Before I started this business, I had no idea there were so many varieties of citrus. And now I get really excited every winter when I'm like having people taste these. Here, taste this Satsuma. Taste this page mandarin. We're actually sending fruit to my family across the country because it's that good.
Yeah.
And they are very, very grateful to receive it. So that's fruit. It's a lot of citrus and some kiwis coming up and a lot of apples. And then for vegetables, a lot of leafy green stuff and a lot of stuff that likes to hide in the ground. So a lot of roots, beets, celery root, parsnips, turnips, radishes. And the
good
greens
stuff.
Right now are just unsurpassed. They're the lettuce and the kale, the dark green leafy stuff is incredible.
I got two rapid fire questions for you. The first one is, have you personally visited each one of your farms?
I haven't visited each one. I visited maybe a third of them, mm-hmm. I would say. So, I visited about a third of them. And the reason I shop at the Santa Monica Market, actually, is because the market manager there, the managers within those markets, there's quite a few Santa Monica markets, tend to visit, they do visit all the farms over a certain amount of time.
Uh-huh.
And they really keep on top of their farmers for selling what they grow, which has been in the news a lot lately.
Okay.
So I chose that market because it was a spectacular market in terms of variety
okay.
and quality. But it turns out, especially with all this media in the last few months, it's turned out to be a good thing. The managers up there really, they make our job as consumers a lot easier. They keep everybody honest about where the food's actually coming from.
Yeah, that's very
good,
important.
Good thing. Yeah,
and,
definitely.
And the other question I would have for you is, because, I've looked into this before, and lots of times I think what happens is a lot of people that do this, they'll get stuff that they're not familiar with. So do you have some type of recipes or suggestions for things that come in the box for people who aren't familiar with some of the things? Good.
Yeah, every delivery comes with two or more recipes, two or three. I usually try to make it for an item in the box that's strange. Like this week, we got celery root for the first time. And customer.
Yeah, for a lot of people, that's just like, what is this? It's like a brain.
Yeah, she called it a moldy ball of twine. And ever since,
there you go.
It's a very apt description. So I try to pick out those things that are the most unusual. And especially this time of year, people just don't know what to do with things. What am I supposed to do with all these squashes, these moldy balls of twine, and what is this weird green leafy thing coming to my door? But we have the recipes, and then we archive them on the blog and on the website and everywhere. So, and I'm always available. That's kind of my passion, is the recipe side of things. So I'm always available for random recipe questions. Definitely.
Now, how is the community, when you first started, was there any pushback? Have you been readily accepted? Have you had to do any education-wise to get people to understand what you're doing with this?
Yeah, I think it was pretty readily accepted. My first customers were friends, you know, and friends of friends. And I think there is a bit of education that comes along with it, but I think that by the time people find Beach Greens, they've kind of done their homework, and that's why they come to us. Right. You know, I do talks within the community and do community events and definitely answer questions when people have them, but most people, I would say, are already advocates for local eating. And they've read up, they've read a book, they've seen a movie, you know, all these movies and books that you can read up on and become enraged about our food source, and they say, I need to do something different. And so they go online and they Google local food, Long Beach, produce, Long Beach. And a lot of, they come to us a lot of times and say, hey, I found you when I Googled these things, and I really want to try this. So, and a lot of people we get actually have come from other places, too, where stuff, where a service like this, they've belonged to before. So it's not uncommon for them. So, yeah, there's definitely an education component, but... strangely, I think just being out in the community and doing things like this, people learn more about it. Like I said, they kind of have it when they come to me, which is nice.
Now, are all of your customers in Long Beach? Are you Long Beach adjacent? How's that work?
Yeah, I call it Greater Long Beach area. We do Lakewood, and we do Seal Beach and Sunset Beach, and we go as far as Huntington Harbor.
Okay.
So kind of Surfside, kind of go down the coast. Los Alamitos as well.
What kind of payment plan? Is it PayPal, credit card?
It's a credit card thing. You sign up. When you sign up, you put in your credit card information, and we charge it for every delivery that you receive. So there's three different size boxes, and when you sign up, you choose the size box you want, the ratio of fruit to vegetables that you like, anything you don't like. So if you know you just can't stand beets, you put that down and we don't send you beets. Or if in the middle of the winter season you just can't stand the sight of another squash, you put no more butternut
cabbage.
Squash, please. Cabbage. That's a popular dislike. Definitely.
That's the problem with, you know, cabbage grows all year. And especially grows
and they're
in
huge.
Winter. And they're huge.
Yeah.
And it's like one head of cabbage. I make my own sauerkraut, so I find a use for it. But if you're not willing to do that, that's a lot of cabbage to eat.
Yep, it is. I try to kind of minimize the cabbage because people cry mercy pretty quickly on that one. Like, really, please, no more. I can't do
that's
any more of
one.
These heads of cabbage.
Totally, I could see that.
Now, do you have any type of gift certificates or holiday
gifts? Yeah, we do. What we suggest is that people... we have a few people doing it this week and next. If you want to give a gift to a family member or a neighbor, that you go online and you sign up for them, and you can put in your billing information. And then you can choose how, if you want to give them one delivery or four deliveries or whatever it is. And then you just prepay for that, and then they just receive the deliveries.
Okay. Now, the deliveries happen on a particular day? How's that go?
They do. It's based upon your zip code. So 90802 is our Wednesday deliveries. Thursday is kind of Belmont Shore, Rose Park sort of area. And then Fridays is East Long Beach and Wrigley, Bixby Knolls, kind of West Long Beach and Northwest Long Beach as well.
Okay.
And Lakewood. So if you put in your zip code, and the system will generate what your delivery day will be.
Yeah, actually, I'm looking at that right now. I just saw that. All the zip codes are marked, and it tells you the days. And pretty slick, man. I take it this is a vehicle that runs on vegetable oil.
Absolutely. I wish. That would be good.
This is very cool. I actually looked into something similar to this a few years back. The only place that was doing it way back then was a company out of Santa Monica. This is probably about 5 or 6 years ago. Well, maybe longer than that.
Yeah. A few of them have definitely cropped up, and these kind of businesses have the ability to be very localized, which I think is a really good thing. I mean, one thing I'm really excited about is that we're working a lot with local farmers in Long Beach, farmers that are growing stuff here. So
yeah.
That is really exciting to me. And the stuff tastes, we just got this lettuce today it just makes you swoon. I never thought lettuce could make me swoon, but I took a bite of it today and I was like, my God, it was picked this morning. We got it this morning or this afternoon. We're going to deliver it this week. And it's just incredible. Long Beach grown lettuce. It tastes amazing.
I had experience with that with like beets. not a big beet fan. But
right.
My wife is, and so when I had my own plot, I grew beets, you know, really just so she could have. And, of course, then I had way more beets than I ever wanted to eat. But that being said, pick it right. First of all, the soil was, you know, good soil, and it was all organic and all that, and, you know, brought it home. And those were the best damn beets I ever had. And I wasn't a beet fan, but I was, you know, and they taste totally different than what you get at the market. Who knows? Because beets will sit on that shelf forever. Who knows how long
they've been? I've never had one before, a farm fresh one, and they're good. They can be like
way
candy.
Different. And then there's tons
Absolutely.
Of varieties. Well, not tons, but at least I know of at least three or four.
We get about three or four. They're crazy. So many.
I love the golden beets.
Golden are one of my favorite.
Yeah, the normal beets, red beets, whatever they are, those are okay if they're you grow them yourself. But those golden beets, when you grow them yourself, those are so good.
They're so sweet. Absolutely.
They are.
Yeah.
Who knew? So it really does make a difference. You know, the farm to table is a huge. And for those who can't grow it themselves, this sounds like a great opportunity.
Another question I have, does somebody have to be there to receive them, or do you leave them on the porch, or how does that work?
No, we leave it on the porch, pretty much. I mean, most places have a porch, and we have a few places that need entry instructions, like knock 3 times and turn around in a circle, and the door will not be open, you know, like stuff like that. So most of it's just leave it on a front porch, leave it on a back porch, don't be afraid of the dog, that kind of thing. So actually, a lot of people do think they need to be home, and that is one thing I'm continually telling people. Don't worry about it. We're just going to leave it on your doorstep, and if you think it's a problem, we'll leave it behind your gate or behind your post. Or we leave it in a cooler in the warmer months. We ask our customers to leave out a cooler so that the stuff will survive better if they're not going to be home all day. So this time of year is great for delivery. It's nice and cool.
The boxes they come in, are they reusable? Do you turn the box back over to you, and are they recycled and such?
Yeah, that's the one commitment. When you sign up, you pay a $50 box deposit that's refundable, and that's just to cover the cost of these reusable, recycled plastic boxes. And we're like the milkman. We switch it in and out. We leave a full. We take back your empty every week. And and if you ever decide to stop deliveries, you get the boxes back, you get your $50 back. So it's a good way. We don't really generate a whole lot of waste, which is nice.
You're very cool. You're doing all the right answers.
That's right. Sounds like a great service.
Yeah, very cool. I really do. I see the boxes now. I just clicked on the little rent a green box. I see. There you go. Those are very cool. Yeah. Wow. And you started this when?
3 years ago.
3 years ago.
Pretty much 3 years ago in October.
And everything's been going pretty well for you, huh?
Yeah, we grew in 2009, which was very proud for me to be able to say that to people in a year when people were really hurting. But yeah, we grew. People are interested in this, and this year we grew as well. And next year we're really focusing on our school fundraiser programs, which are great. We basically get together with the PTA or small private schools who don't have a PTA, but we get together with them and we sell them a box at a certain price, and then they sell it to the families for $5 more, and then the PTA keeps that difference. So it's a fundraiser for the school, and the families get to pick up a box of vegetables every week.
Oh, that's cool.
a really cool thing. It's an alternative to candy and magazines and whatever else that there is, and at the same time involves healthy eating, education, just so many things involved in that. So we're doing that, the school box. That's really going to be our big push for next year, because there's so many schools in Long Beach and so much room for growth, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
Really reach out to that community.
And this is a good time, because I know Long Beach Unified in general is trying to improve and change that sort of, like, let's sell candy to make money, and they're trying to go a different way. So this would be a good time to definitely do that.
Absolutely.
And your website is beachgreens.com?
Yeah, beachgreens.com. And we have a blog, too. It's beachgreens.wordpress.com, which you can get to from beachgreens.com. And that's more of a fun, everyday kind of meet the farmer, look at what I made in my kitchen. These are some cooking classes we have coming up. We have a set of cooking classes coming up in January and February. So they're open
to
everybody.
And
they take place at a business in Signal Hill called Culinary Enterprises. And it's a woman who, she has been teaching cooking with the ROP program in Long Beach for 20-some years. And she opened this cooking school. It's a bunch of different chefs that come in and teach all different sorts of cooking classes. So I'm doing, my thing is always seasonal delights sort of thing, obviously. This year, this next series, I'm going to be calling it Soups, Salads, and Homemade Sodas, which is three things that I love. And what was actually sort of requested in my last class that I did. So that'll be my winter topic. It's a 5-week series. And her website is foodiscool.com. And you can go there and sign up for my class and all the other amazing classes that she has there. So she has a beautiful kitchen up there.
Great. And how do you get to the blog off the...
Yeah, if you go to beachgreens.com, there should be like a little WordPress icon there.
Yeah, it's under the Healthy and Fun tab. I see it. Beach Greens blog. Excellent. Well, excellent. Is there anything we haven't covered that you'd like to let the people know about?
No, I'm glad that we got to the cooking classes. That's definitely in the school boxes. Was big.
Yeah. What else can people do to help you out? Is there any... are you looking for more schools? Are you working with any specific schools?
I am working with a couple of, one school right now, a small, I don't know if they're a charter school, private school. They're a Waldorf-inspired school. I don't know what that makes them. But they're a small school, so it's a small amount of families there, which has been nice because I think this sort of thing kind of fits into their philosophy. So that's been nice. But I would love to do a larger school. One of the public schools in Long Beach would be spectacular. It would be really great. Yeah, I'm looking. I'm definitely looking. For people who are interested, whether it's PTA members, presidents, parents, any of that.
You know, Draft Peter, he was president for about 4 years, and he was a chef, and he's had his own garden. He's got nothing else going on.
Yeah. Nothing else going on.
Look at him. Peter, you ought to draft him. He's good at that stuff.
I can't hear
you. It is pretty quiet all of a sudden there, buddy.
Well, my phone died.
But you can hear me talking.
I can
right
hear you talking, but I can't hear what she's saying. There we go. My phone's back. All right. Yes, now my phone's back. So
but you are absolutely qualified for this.
Perhaps.
Perhaps.
I mean, yeah. Certain unique skills.
You do have unique skills. And I've seen your gardens.
And my gardens work out okay.
And I've tasted your cooking.
Yeah.
And you were a PTA president for about
2 years.
Yeah?
That was a long 2 years.
See?
I'm glad that went. I'm glad it's over.
Yeah. You guys are like parallel, man. She was in the culinary world. You were in the culinary world.
I'll send you an email.
All right. We need to talk.
And I could help, or we could see where things, where I could, we maybe could dovetail things. I keep trying to get out of the cooking.
She did.
This is good.
No, it follows you, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, no, well, I still have, because I worked in restaurants, and then I had my own companies, and I still have people that I worked, that I cooked for. In fact, this Sunday I'm doing a gig that I keep saying, no, I can't, I'm not cooking anymore. And this guy just insistent. And it's like, I just can't.
It's like The Godfather, man. Al Pacino said it. Every time I try to get out, they pull me back in.
So, but this is cool. I like this because I still love food and I still love to cook. I just don't necessarily want to be on the other end of it, the restaurant catering end of it. So this is kind of a really, I'm kind of listening here going, I missed the boat because you came up with a really good idea to do the cool parts of
it
without, you know, without the crappy parts. So I think I tip my hat to you. Good job.
Well, thanks. I needed to get out of that world. It was
where
I wanted to be.
How many times has Swoop heard me say that?
You know, everybody I know who's in that world says that.
Yeah. Except for the crazy ones.
It's a love-hate
thing.
Crazy
ones go,
this
is fun.
Yes,
but
yes.
The normal people go, this is not right. But we all have, we got there because we had a passion for food. Not necessarily the crazy work hours and work environment.
Right.
But yeah, no, this is a really cool idea. So I will send you an email and we'll see where we can go with this.
Yeah, I figure there's so many schools in Long Beach. I mean,
yeah,
yes,
absolutely.
There are, and yeah, and
I think Long Beach Unified is the second largest school district in the state, and which puts them as because LA Unified is the largest in the country, so that that puts them as definitely one of the larger schools. And one of the neat things about, I mean, every district has their own things, and. And Long Beach has its own bureaucracy for sure, but they do seem very receptive to new ideas, and they're always, trying to do things better. And so if there's a district that could do it or be willing to adopt it, I would think Long Beach would be the place.
Yeah.
They move a little slow.
A lot of good things happen here. Yeah.
What's that?
So a lot of good things happen here.
Yeah, yeah. And Long Beach Unified moves a little slow, but when they move, things happen.
Right.
Well, it's a very, very, very cool thing you got going, and good luck to you. And let us know if we can ever help you out with anything, and put the word out for you. And thanks for coming on the show. And
I really
like what you got going on there. And if there's anything else that you that we didn't get out that you need to put out, let us know.
Okay, thank
you.
We'll
promise not to butcher your name next time too.
So now you know.
Now we know.
All right, don't forget it.
We'll forget 10 minutes from now, but we're gonna write it down and try it. We're gonna promise.
We will try. We'll promise to try.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, the best of luck to you.
Yes.
And I will send you an email in the next day or two, and maybe we can meet up and figure something out.
Great. I look forward to it.
All right.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Okay.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Check out peachgreens.com, and the website's very cool. And, you know what? The more you go through it, every question you can ever come up with is on there, and is answered on there, I should say. And the Beach Greens blog is listed there, and you can see all the delivery addresses by zip code, and look at the prices. The price is very reasonable. I mean, they have the studio box, $29, and it tells you how much you're going to get, and I think it goes up to $59.99 and for the family box. And you know, when we had our gardens, I mean, we're giving stuff away.
Yeah.
And there's so much produce you can get, and it's cool. It's delivered right to your door.
You know, the most important thing for sure is, which we touched upon, is the stuff tastes totally different.
Yes.
Now, even if you don't, which I don't go this way, but there's some people who go, there's no difference between organic and blah, blah, blah. Okay, maybe not. Let's just give you that fact. But there's freshness. Is just, like, for instance, I remember I would grow lettuce. I'd pick the lettuce. I'd have lettuce, that same head of lettuce, if I didn't use it, like I'd use part of it, would be good for like 2 weeks.
Right.
When was the last time you bought lettuce from Vons or Trader Joe's or wherever and had lettuce that was still in good shape? A week later. I mean, you got to eat that stuff within two or three days.
The problem is, by the time it gets to the store, it's already you don't even know when it's picked.
You don't know
when
it's picked.
You have no clue when it was picked.
And you don't know how, like, what temperatures, because, you know, if you store things that really look...
Dude, I worked at a grocery store.
Yeah, that's right. You got some inside scoop there.
Yeah, man. You know, they talk about, you know, if somebody leaves something out and it's a go back,
yeah,
it could be set somewhere for hours before it gets back
into
the cooler.
And that's another good point, is the chain of custody, so to speak. Mm-hmm. You're trusting a lot of people to... do things right, store the right temperature, and also cross-contamination. As someone who worked in the restaurant, that's how most people get sick,
exactly.
Is cross-contamination. Because, it, you know, and I think, generally speaking, the food chain is safe, but when things go wrong, they go way wrong. and this is another way to, I mean, obviously something could happen, but if you're going from the farm to Aaliyah, to us, I mean, you've cut out a lot of hands.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a cool and freshness. I mean, the faster you get it to your table, to your kitchen, the better it's going to taste.
Yeah, and that's the big, you know, like she was saying, how wonderful that lettuce tasted.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Because it just came out of the ground.
I mentioned the beet thing, but I had that same experience with the, I did a whole... I think it was a spring mix of greens, you know, and those are the same spring mix you get at like Trader Joe's or Vaughn's, already packaged.
Right.
And I like that mix. But this, when I grew it myself, was so much better. I mean, just infinitely crisper.
How many times did we talk about with our kids where I would pick snap peas that never made it home?
Oh, yeah.
Never made it home. They would
My kids won't eat snap peas if I buy them from the store.
No, but
if I grow them, it won't make it all. Yeah.
There it is. Oh, hey, we got about 13 minutes. Let's take a quick break. A little Channel 3 Blue Christmas, and we'll play.
This is a good song.
Yeah, this is a great song. I saw Channel 3 this past weekend, and I'll tell you a little bit about that. And we'll come back and wrap things up. You're listening to The Swoops World on Blog Talk Radio, and we'll be right back.
Have a
Hey, Swoop here, letting you know every one of our shows is archived, and you can find them all online, man. If you missed a show or one that you want to definitely hear again, you can find them. And where can you find them? You can find them right here on Blog Talk Radio under Swoop's World. You can find them at swoopsworld.com. You can find them for free on iTunes. You can subscribe to our RSS feed. You can go back and listen to who? John Nunn, Olympic medalist, Jack Smith, Academy Award winner, Grace Slick, rock and roll superstar, Michelle Mangione, Tom O'Keefe, you name it, we've had them, man. J. Ross Perelli. I mean, there's just so many people. I can't name them all. I'm sorry if I left somebody you love out. Go to swoopsworld.com, look at the list, go to blogtalkradio.com/swoopsworld. Just scroll on down, see what you got. But they're all archived, and they're all there for you, the Swoop's World listener, to go back and check out and listen to again. So check out our archives. Go back and re-listen to some shows that you've missed and some that you haven't heard, because they're there, and they're going to be there for in perpetuity, as they say. So check those out. Revisit them. And like I said, you can always subscribe to our RSS feed, or you can always subscribe to them on iTunes, downloadable for free. And, hey, thanks for listening.
Beaver Nut.
And we're back live with Swoop's World on Blog Talk Radio. Hey, Peter.
Howdy, howdy.
Oh, man. Long day.
It was a long day.
But we're winding down here, and another good show, man. A couple of good guests, and you know, I really enjoyed Barry and Aaliyah, and you know that those delivery things are pretty cool, especially if you don't have a garden.
Smart idea. Yeah.
You don't have a garden, if you
just don't have the time.
You don't have.
You might have the space for a garden, but you don't have the time.
Yeah, and if you can't get to a farmer's market. And they do a pretty good job. I've seen some of those boxes. They pick those things out and deliver them to your house.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to give it a try. And, you know, because that's my one gripe. I like Trader Joe's. That's, you know, in my neighborhood. I like them. I like the quality of the stuff they have at the price they have. I think it's great.
Uh-huh.
Vons actually has a better veggie and basically better produce selection.
Uh-huh.
But it's not great. You know, I mean, and I, you know, as a chef, as someone who has that kind of background, I kind of know what to look for.
Right.
And there will be times where I'll just leave. I mean, I just won't buy much because, like, yeah, I went in there with the idea that I'm going to get some lettuce, but, like, that's all crap up there, so I'm not going to, you know, I'm going to spend the money. So it would be cool to – I'm definitely going to give it a try. I'll try it out and see how it goes, and I report back. But, yeah, I love the idea, and – I don't have the kind of yard where I can grow stuff. I just don't have enough space. And, you know, I got booted from the Nazi garden.
No, you didn't get booted. You left.
True.
Yeah.
But I saw the writing on the wall. I was going.
Much like me, you left.
I left. But I knew I was going to get booted.
Well, same here.
So this would be a kind of a cool alternative, and especially for me, the big thing is variety, you know, because there are some people that can eat the same thing all the time, but I don't. I like that variety. So if there's a variety in there, and especially if I can get some unusual or sort of, you know, off the beaten path sort of stuff, I'd be thrilled with that, you know? Yeah. I can go pick up potatoes or apples, wherever.
Right.
But, like, to get some of the cool oranges, citrus stuff that she was talking about, beets, you know, I really never cared for beets until I grew my own. And I was like, wow, now that's, you know, that's what things should taste like.
You're thinking I'm a freak, but I like throwing them in my protein shake. So.
Oh, well, I told you that story, I'm sure. Gross out our listeners. But when I first met my wife, she loved those beets. And she loved the juice.
I know where you're going with that, because I've been there, done that.
Yeah, she forced me to drink this juice produce shake thing. It wasn't even a shake. It was just squeeze, and it was like, it was horrible. It tasted horrible, but, you know, we were just dating, so I got to do it. And my goodness, I woke up the next day, took care of some business in the morning.
Oh my God! I thought I was dying. I've got to go see a doctor right now. Internal bleeding. Internal bleeding. Oh my God! It was horrible.
I mean, I told you that I actually bought a can of for eat those surveillance.
Oh jeez.
Yeah, same thing.
Okay, my mom loved canned beets.
Yeah.
And so that was really all I knew growing up as far as beets went, and those are horrible. Those are just.
You
horrible. That's survival food. That's what that is. You're in a bomb shelter, nuclear winter's going on. You eat the canned beets. But other than that, no way.
You gotta stay in there a certain amount of time.
Yeah. But, canned beets.
27
horrible.
Years. Then you come out.
Horrible. But if you can get some fresh beets, that's a whole other matter.
We're done like 4 minutes.
Carrots. Carrots are another one. Those will sit on the shelves in the grocery store forever before they go bad. If you've ever pulled the carrot out of the ground and eaten it within an hour.
Oh, my gosh. It's sweet.
It's
so sweet.
It's a whole different vegetable.
Outstanding. So last weekend, Saturday night, I think it was. Saturday night, went and saw a few bands down at the Blue Cafe.
Right.
Speaking of like a bunker, man. I've gone to the Blue Cafe when I was on the promenade. And, the old saying, spare no expense. They spare no expense on this place, man. It's below Mariposa.
Uh-huh.
And it's got like four stools and like two two tables. And but anyway, Channel 3, it was great, man. I'm going to write a little review for Swoops World Radio.
Cool.
What do you call that? Website.
Website.
And so I'm gonna put something up there before the week's over on the show. It was a good show, and Kim was great. And then, I put up part one of our interview on YouTube. It's got almost 1,000 views.
No way.
Yeah, look it up, man. It's got about 900 views, man. So that's pretty cool. So next week on Swoops World, we're gonna have LB Food Review will be back.
Right.
And Steve Sost is our guest in the first hour. And
another great musician.
Another great musician.
For those of you who don't know.
And this afternoon, I watched on stageit.com. I saw Michelle Mangione and Kelly Fitzgerald. Kelly was with us 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. How'd that go? I wanted to see that, but I had too much stuff going on.
It was great. It was very cool. It was a good venue, and thoroughly enjoyed it. And they played a couple requests, and they rocked it. They rocked
cool.
it. And, last week's guest was Heather Nelson, and I think Heather won some kind of award this week. So, yeah, cool things, man. Cool things are happening this week. So, we're winding down. We're rambling. I'm tired. So,
totally.
we're gonna wrap this up, man. So, thanks for listening to Swoops World here on blogtalkradio.com. If you want, on the show page, you can leave comments. Leave a comment on the show. You can also become a fan on our Facebook page. You can follow us on Twitter. You can always send us an email at swoopsworld@gmail.com. Got a suggestion for a guest or suggestion for the show? Do so. We're always looking, listening, and really appreciate you tuning in. So thanks for listening in again, and we'll see you again next week.
Night all.
Good night, everybody. And as I stall looking for the button to push, we'll see you next week.